the biggest thing for me is I 100% believe that transgenderism is a mental disorder.
There are very few times where I can say that I'm introducing somebody whose content inspired me on such a level just because of their work ethic. I have to admit, this next guest, I like to watch her content to keep up with what's going on. She's very current. She's very within the news cycle. And that's something that I come to her for and I trust her for. So without further ado, she's a member of the Legxit movement. She's a great political commentator. Frankie Rodriguez, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this day for a while. I love your content and love everything you do.
Likewise.
It's an honor to be here.
Likewise. I have to say that it's been cool seeing people kind of shift what they're doing from, let's say, while Trump was president and now that Trump's not president, and just seeing how people's brands are evolving and who's really sticking with the idea of commentary and, you know, holding the left accountable, and then who's kind of straying away from that and just kind of going back to influencer status on Instagram, you know. So I enjoy
absolutely.
Watching your stuff. And if you could just give just
Thank
like a
you.
Short background of like how you got into things. We're not going to do the whole origin story thing. We can do that in another episode, but I want to get into the nitty gritty and talk some topics with you.
Yeah.
Just give us a little, how'd you get involved?
You know, it really just started. I was very quiet with a lot of, you know, my political opinions.
Right.
I would never dare speak anything because I had asked a few questions back before the 2016 election, and I thought I was going to be excommunicated out of where I worked. So I kind of stayed quiet, and it was just so much going on, and this last election was so much. I couldn't stay silent anymore. I had to do something. And the second that I really felt that our religious rights were being attacked is when I said, no, this is absolutely the last straw, because I honestly felt if I didn't say something and speak up that it would literally be me denying God for not speaking up on this. And that's when I started, and I just haven't stopped since.
I can definitely relate to you on that level. That was pretty much what pushed me over the edge. Like, similar to you, first, four years of Trump, I'd say maybe three because the last year was crazy. But even before that, during his campaign, I didn't speak about the politics that I internalized at all. I didn't see a point in making content about it. I had a job. I wasn't going to risk my career to do so. But when the pulpit started being attacked in the form of ideologies, right, with the BLM movement and stuff like that, is when I kind of like, it was just the final straw. And I was like, now I have to do something, or else, like you said, I feel like I'm denying God. I feel like I'm not standing up for something that I'm saying I'm placing my entire life in. So what was that event or that moment or that news article that you were like, that's it, I have to start saying something?
I think it just began, you know, right after, you know, those coming weeks after the election, when everyone was obviously talking about, oh, Biden is a new president. And, you know, I was kind of just trying to reiterate on my personal Instagram account, like, hey guys, everything still has to be counted. This isn't final. You know, the media doesn't determine this. There's a lot going on. There's new factors. And so that's kind of how it started. And I was expecting to get a lot of backlash, and ended up receiving a lot of positive messages. And they were all direct messages, because obviously no one wanted to be known for being a conservative. And, you know, just everyone coming out and saying, thank you so much for saying something. I felt so alone. And that's what started giving me the courage. And then Biden just started, you know, he did his thanking everyone for coming out to vote speech. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, you had said you weren't going to accept winning the election until it was confirmed. And here you are accepting this 2 weeks in. And he started just talking about what his agenda was and all of his plans and all the executive orders that he was going to, you know, start signing from day one, and all the things about the Equality Act. And I was just like, this is not good. And if I don't start saying something, you know, our rights are going to disappear,
right?
You know, and I know it's so much work to read, you know, all of the bills and all of the text, because for obviously most of us conservatives, like we're working, we have a life, we're not slacking around like liberals that have the time to go protest 18 hours a day. You know, we have things that we're doing. And so I just felt, you know, I have this opportunity to, you know, go in and I can go in and do the research because I'm such a nerd and news junkie. And like I can be the person to dive in through all the text and read through it and make it make sense for everyone.
Yeah,
so I just felt, you know, that's God talking to me.
Yeah, you bring up the things that Joe Biden was saying before he was elected is crucial. I feel like that added a lot of people to, I guess, the pro-America movement, right? The Patriot movement, because all of a sudden there's this thing called the Office of the President-Elect, something that's never been done before. And like
never existed.
Yeah. Like I'm in digital marketing for a living. Right. So I understand like sales funnels. I understand how to generate leads. I understand how to create a brand or an image. Like those are things that I know very well. People pay me to do that for them. The Office of the President-Elect was exactly that. It was a team of marketers sitting down. How can we make Joe Biden look like he's already president, but not break any rules?
Exactly.
You know, maybe be a little bit on the line, but it was essentially like a YouTube channel, you know, like the Office of the President-Elect with like a nice background and everything. And that to me.
And I don't know. Do you happen to know where this office was? Because I looked and I couldn't find it, but to me from the videos it honestly looked like a high school theater. Like it was the stage, I saw the speakers, I was like, this just reminds me of being in dance in high school. That's what I saw. With
I'm gonna assume it was either in Portland or in Seattle.
It's like, this is not legit. This is not an office.
No, it's horrifying. And it's horrifying that what ends up happening with people like that is that they become the people that ultimately get in power when Joe Biden does get elected, or when he, you know, when he does become president. And so now we essentially have like this weird it transcends marketing and just becomes propaganda at that point. You know, like people are just, you know, just ready to accept wholesale everything that this guy says. And, you know, you have this stuff like the vote blue no matter who thing that was happening. But anyway, back to what you were saying. I totally agree that was one of those pivotal moments. What are some of the things nowadays, kind of switching gears, or like today, this week, that have been really topical for you that you feel like we need to start addressing as conservatives, as the pro, I guess the pro-Trump movement? I don't know if we're still technically that, but what are your thoughts?
And, you know, it's interesting that you say pro-Trump, because obviously a lot of people were woken up once Trump was in office. And, you know, I think it's important right now, especially to show that what we are here for is for our conservative values and for rights. You know, we're not just this, as the left puts it, we're not this Trump cult, you know, where we're here and we supported him because he supported our values. He supported what we supported as conservatives. You know, so obviously I will continue forever to say, you know, that I was here for Trump, you know, but where it's bigger than that. It's bigger than Trump. You know, this is a bigger movement than just Trump. And that's, I feel like, what we really have to focus on, because that's all that the left continues to grasp on. And then other than that, just, you know, showing that all the things that the left claim is happening here in America isn't actually happening. And, you know, I think it's important to show racism doesn't exist. Every time there's another story of some hate crime, or hate crime is a little bit tougher to say, obviously, because there's Asian hate crime happening. But, you know, all of these racist hate crimes that are coming out as a hoax, you know, they're not seeing that. They're just seeing someone writing all this white power graffiti, and then they don't hear that, come to find out, it was actually a black student. And then the whole rhetoric and the narrative changes to, oh, well, it's actually a mental health issue. We have to just sit down and talk to the students because they've been so oppressed that they felt like they had to do this. Like, no, that's not how this works. You know, if you really want to show that America is united, you can't do things like that. You can't commit a crime and say that you were attacked on your racism or on your race, and then come to find out it was you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not how you fix a problem, you know, if you're out there actually trying to fix a problem. But they don't. They don't want to fix it. And that's the thing. I think continuing to show the hypocrisy from the left is going to help. I know when I talked to a lot of friends that were liberal before the election, just talking to them about different, you know, different topics and different things that were going on, and just highlighting the hypocrisy on the left and the things that they were planning and their narratives. And a lot of them really started looking into things and they started researching and they thought, you know, I've been a Democrat my whole life, but now that I'm seeing all of these things and going down this rabbit hole and finding out what the actual truth was behind this, there's no way that I could vote for that anymore. I can't, you know? And so I think continuing to show the hypocrisy and, you know, the real things that they're doing on the left is what's going to, you know, essentially help. Yeah. Especially with us, you know, Hispanics, we're conservative at heart, but you don't realize it until you actually know what the conservative movement is.
Right. So. It's interesting that you bring up, you know, race and all of these kind of, what do you call them? These assaults, right? Based on race or like this graffiti stuff. I think one of the things that the left has done very well is to make politics into pop culture. And by doing that and kind of using our skin color or race as like this form of currency, then you have all these people who are, and I don't know if it breaks up. I don't know if it breaks up by age or if it breaks up by, you know, a socioeconomic background maybe, but there are clear people that as soon as they start to see that, like, hey, they're using our race against us for everything, they kind of are like, they reevaluate. But then there are people that buy into it wholesale, right? And these are people who would maybe 30 years ago be perfectly normal people that are apolitical, all of a sudden are being essentially radicalized by mainstream media of all things. And so it's interesting to see how critical race theory is playing into all these things and how it's becoming the mainstream. I was talking, and I've said this on the podcast before, but I was talking to a friend a friend's little cousin. And I was just at his house, and I was asking her, how was school, you know, like, what are you learning? And she said to me, well, we're learning, and mind you, she's maybe in sixth grade at the time, we're learning about Christopher Columbus and how he was a rapist and he was a colonizer and he was a white supremacist. And like, she didn't say that like with any like dread in her heart. She didn't say it, you know, as if it was something. It was just like, oh, this is what we're learning, because you know it's true, right? Like, everybody knows. And I'm just like, not like nodding my head, thinking about, this is the culture that we're raising in this country. What do you see as far as like the educational side of things, the institutions of the university and stuff like that? Are you seeing any problems today in the way that it's run?
My gosh, yeah. Education is a worse word to use for that, because that's the opposite of what they're getting. you know, it's a huge problem, and I feel like this is absolutely the reason why they're targeting younger voters. And you know, now the fact that they're trying to push the voting age to 16, you know, says everything, because that's all that it is. They're trying to rewrite history. They're trying to rewrite how everything happened. You know, changing the perspectives of all these students because they don't know anything. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they don't know, but you know what I mean? Like, they're young, they're in school, children. They're learning. That's why they're there. Yeah, their minds are so malleable. If they're in school, they're going to assume whatever they are learning in school is what's right, because it's school. No one opposes that. It's your education. And if parents don't know what their kids are learning, how are they going to correct them on it? You know, so I think now a lot of parents are being woken up to what's actually happening in the education system. But if these students aren't getting, you know, a second, I don't want to say second narrative, but I guess just corrected on the information, all they're going to know is that one thing. If all they hear is Christopher Columbus was a rapist, they're not going to hear that these people left looking for new land, right? You know, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have America. You know, that's where it all started. Obviously not saying that the things that happened, I mean, being from Puerto Rico, I know that they came and conquered and you know, rampaged through everything, but we wouldn't be here, you know. And it wasn't like he was this only person that had slaves or whatever. I mean, slavery had been happening all over the world. This was just commonplace, you know? I mean,
I'm sure you can relate to this.
Not saying that it was correct,
not to cut you off, but on your point, I'm sure you can relate to this because it's something that I'm seeing as a pattern more and more. One of the big things that differentiates between people who wholeheartedly believe a leftist narrative and people who don't is the understanding of human nature that I'm assuming you have since you were talking about your faith earlier, which is that humans are naturally, you know, sinners. We're born with original sin. So humans by nature are not perfect, and nobody ever has been, right? And according to me, the only person that was is Jesus. But when kids are learning about Christopher Columbus, or they're learning about this, this, and that, they're learning with the assumption that one day we will live in a perfect world, or that, you know, the past is just marked with and permanently stained with bad things, and we can't sort through those bad things and recognize the good, because then we would be hypocritical. Mm-hmm. But that it's the exact opposite of what's actually true with human nature. It's like, we have to embrace the good that happened in the past and the good that we do despite the flawed things that we've done and the evil things that human nature has done. And I think that's a really big and a really deep discussion that I don't think is happening at all in schools. And to me, that's baffling.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, it's happening more so on the pulpit where we're told, you know, I mean, you're Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So as a Protestant, we call it total depravity, right? That's what the theological word for it is, right? And so we talk about that all the time. I know I grew up Catholic, so I know that, you know, original sin doctrine is taught very much. And these are the things that religion has that were taken away from us when they started removing God from the institutions. And now we're left with this altruism that we'll never reach. So what's your take on that, and like removing God from the institutions, and all of a sudden there's all of these pretty much holes in the way we're thinking because those things were once replaced with religion?
You know, it's interesting because I have people come on my Instagram and ask me that all the time. There was one time someone came on, I can't remember what post it was, but he was saying, you know, it's really dumb of you that all of your moral decisions are based on God. And I just thought,
I would have had a field day.
What? Yeah, I was like, what? And he just asked, he said, it's just so dumb that all of your decisions are made, how did he word it? Basically, like, essentially through the eyes of God, right? Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, what decisions are not made with God in your heart, right? I mean, if all of these decisions are moral decisions, right? You're not murdering because you have the kindness in your heart to respect another life. You know, you honor your parents, you honor your neighbor, you love your neighbors just as you love yourself. So everything that you do should be, you know, considerate of others. Obviously, you want to protect yourself. Someone's coming at you. You're going to protect your life. But you know what I mean? If you're making a decision, if you're out in the street or doing something, you know, and you see someone, you know, who needs help, you don't just say, oh, well, that sucks to be in his position and just walk away.
Right.
You know, you feel that in your heart and you stop and you say, I am lucky and fortunate enough to be able to help this person, whatever that is, if they need a meal, if they need $20, whatever. Those are decisions based on having God in your heart. And, you know, for someone to say, well, you can make all these decisions without God and you can do this without God. If that's the way that they want to live their life, I mean, it's not my job to, you know, correct it, because, you know, from what I have learned in my studies, God looks at all of us individually. He doesn't, you know, look at all of us as a whole. He doesn't judge us all as a whole. Right. He looks at every individual person and says, what are you doing? How are you living through my words? Mm-hmm. How are you helping your neighbors? How are you doing this? You know, and it's difficult because if someone says, I don't want God and I don't need him, I mean, it hurts me to hear it.
Right.
But I can't change your mind.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the only person that can have that relationship is you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very difficult conversation to happen or to have. But, you know, I usually just say, you know, all of our rights are God given. You know, when America began, our rights are God given. Everything that we have is given by God. And if you can't acknowledge that, then you're denying a whole bigger thing than what you think it is, you know. And
Yeah.
it's interesting for the people that are atheists. If you look at the word atheist, and I'm sure you know, if you look at the word atheist, it literally means to not believe in God, right? But if you're not going to believe in some or anti-God, I think is what it's something like that. And but if you're anti something, that means that it exists and you're just opposing it.
Right.
So you're just opposing God, which is explaining that God does exist.
Yeah. There's a there's an
So
idea in
it's very interesting.
yeah, there's an idea in
Go
a
ahead.
Christian apologetics that talks about pretty much everything that you just spoke about. It's it pretty much this guy Frank Turek, who's a famous apologetic I guess preacher, he talks to agnostics and atheists all the time, and then they'll make a claim about God, or why is it that why do you think that God doesn't exist, right? And he'll say, well, people who are atheists or agnostics, they'll borrow from God in order to slap him in the face, right? Because the way that their thought process is set up, you're assuming morality, you're assuming good and evil, right? So, like, when somebody says, you know, oh, you're walking down the street, you see somebody getting mugged, you have it in your heart to help them. It's like, well, why? Why is it that you want to help them? Why is it that you wouldn't just walk past them and not help them? And part of that answer is because we have an objective moral standard. And a lot of times people who are atheists and agnostics and stuff don't necessarily think that they have an objective moral standard, but they do. Because the minute you say, well, what about the R word, right? What about, you know, assault, right? It'll be like, oh, that's evil. Of course that's evil. You know, Hitler was evil. And it's like, of course, but why? According to who? And then you just take that further and further, and you just take it to the furthest possible conclusion, and you step out of the realm of the natural, and you step into the realm of the eternal, right? So it's like, all of these things eventually have to come down to what is outside of human nature, right? Some people say, like, oh, well, it's based on society. Well, Mayan society, you know, you would sacrifice babies, take their heads off, and roll it down a hill. And that was considered a naturally good thing to do in order to serve the gods. So I would beg to differ that there is objective standards for morality, and they're laid out for us in scripture. So what I love to talk to people like that, because I can go with them all day. You know, the biggest one I think is like this idea that you can't base all of your decisions on God. And my response is always like, are you making a truth claim? Is that true what you're saying? And they're just like, yeah, that's why I said it. It's like, according to who is it true? According to
Exactly.
who? Right? And it's like, and if it's just your
Exactly.
opinion, and it's relative relativity, then why do I care? Why do I care what you have to say?
Yeah.
You know, so I
exactly.
love that conversation, and I love to be able to unpack those ideas, because they're so infinite. You're never going to run out of things to talk about.
Yep.
But yeah. So all right, let's step into, like, you know, the news cycle, what's happening now. One of the big things that we're talking about with the Republican Party in specific, and I believe you're in Cali. Are you in Cali?
I'm in Nevada. I'm in
You're in
Vegas.
Nevada. Okay, you're West Coast. That's
Yeah.
all the same for me.
It's all
But
the
there's a lot of people talking about formerly Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner now, and him running for something in California. What do you think the approach should be for that?
you know, honestly, it's funny because I feel like Jenner would be so much more successful if Jenner ran as a Democrat. Not because I don't agree with you know Jenner's stances on things. I mean, I've seen Caitlyn Jenner's ads and you know the values and calling out Newsom and all of the elites on their hypocrisy. So we do share a lot of the same conservative values, which is important. You know, we need that, especially in California. But I think the toughest thing is, you know, the second that Jenner came out as a Republican, I mean, the left just went crazy. They were all about, you know,
She's anti-trans, blah,
turning
blah.
woman, and yeah, she's like, oh, trans and an athlete and all this. And so they're all about Caitlyn Jenner, all loving Caitlyn Jenner, and then came out as Republican, and now Caitlyn Jenner is a menace and a problem and needs to be, you know, gone essentially. And it's just interesting how just for the party that loves identity, you know, the fact that Jenner is Republican is the determining factor of whether they like Caitlyn Jenner or not. So it's really interesting that I think the issue with with Republicans and conservatives, because I mean, even I'm having, you know, a struggle trying to decide, you know, would this be the right choice or not? Because while I do agree with a lot of the values and a lot of the things I'm going to say she, it's kind of hard. I usually say he, I can't really say she because she's a guy, but
and then there's also the YouTube demonetization thing too, so
yeah, so I'm just gonna keep calling Caitlyn Jenner just Jenner, yeah, that I can't mess it up.
Thank you.
So you know, all of the conservative values are there, you know, and I think that's really important and showing the hypocrisy, like I said. But the biggest thing for me is I 100% believe that transgenderism is a mental disorder, and it is very difficult for people to talk about, you know, and I understand if you feel a certain way, like, yes, you should get help and you should have the treatment, but there's a very big difference to me being, you know, LGB and then crossing into transgenderism is a completely different thing,
right?
Because, you know, I can't just walk around and say, oh, I'm a 72-year-old Asian lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't work. You know, if it worked, I would just show up at Southwest and be like, hey, I identify as a carry-on. So, I'm just going to fly for $25, expect nothing more. And, but it, you know, it doesn't work like that because there's biology, you know, and again, for the party that believes in science, you know, they're ignoring biology and they're ignoring, you know, literally every level of science that there is, because this is a mental issue that has to be properly treated and carefully treated. It's not something that can just be, you know, swept under the rug or just, oh yeah, however you feel. Because if you have a regular person who's having any other kind of mental disorder, you treat it like a mental disorder. I don't know what the full process is, but, you know, they have their psychiatrist or the therapist or their medication if they have to be on it. And then they correct it because it's all mental. And that's what transgenderism is. So for me, being a conservative, it's really difficult to fully support this candidate. Luckily, I'm not in California, so it doesn't affect me, but
right.
I lucked out there. But it's difficult for me to support them because supporting this candidate would be me literally supporting a mental disorder and promoting that's okay.
Right.
And it's not. And it would be different, you know, if he could wear whatever he wants to wear, if he wants to go by Caitlyn, but you're not a woman.
Right.
You know, it's biologically impossible, no matter how much surgery you go through, it's not going to happen. And it's really difficult for a lot of people to have that conversation, but it's science, it's truth. You know, if you want to get to the root of the problem, you have to have those difficult conversations. So you can jump out. I kind of just
well, no, I think you're definitely right. This is where we cross the line into subjective reality, like we were talking about earlier. And that's why I think the whole transgender movement is a really dangerous one, because it allows us to disregard what we've known for all of human existence that exists, which is objective reality. This is actually happening. This guy is actually blue. You know, my shirt is actually blue. So when we discard with that, then it opens the floodgates into every possible thing. And we're kind of seeing it. We're seeing little things bubble up here and there. But there's like horrendous things like NAMBLA, right? Like the pedo people who claim that it's a sexual orientation now. And you're opening the doors to more and more of these things. And even on a cultural level, with all this stuff happening with modern relationships and stuff, you're seeing a lot more polyamorous couples. You're seeing, or trios, I guess you call them. You're seeing, you know, open marriages a lot more, and these things are becoming super public. I actually had a swingers podcast reach out to me and tell me that they wanted to have me on their show because they wanted a different opinion. And I thought that was cool of them. It was very cool of them.
Yeah, is actually very cool of them.
But it just goes to show how incredibly mainstream this is, that people are no longer just like, oh, straight or gay. It's like, now it's like, oh, we're swingers. We have open relationships. We're poly. We're like all of these different things. And that's on the forefront of culture, let alone what's to come when it comes to the essentially the Pandora's box that transgenderism has opened up. So I think you're right. I think one of the questions I asked myself if he were running in Jersey is like, well, believing that being transgender is a mental disorder, because it is, would I entertain somebody running for let's say governor if he had a mental disorder? If it was just another person, just a random person, and they had, let's say, schizophrenia or bipolar or something like that, would I be okay with voting for them? And the question is, it's very questionable. It would really depend on their policies, what they looked like, how they presented themselves. Were they able to do the job? Are they able to physically get the job done? So there's a lot of varying variables when it comes to, you know, Caitlyn Jenner and the Republican Party. I'm still waiting to see a full list of policies. What does she actually want to do, or he actually want to do? Where are all these things going? What's the end game for the campaign, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I kind of stand on that. I do think it's a really interesting topic, and it kind of does show where, like, I consider myself a social conservative, right? I have a lot of friends that are populist, more fiscal conservatives, you know, more socially liberal, and that's totally cool. But because I consider myself like a social conservative, it's very hard for me to get behind somebody like that and say, yeah, let's go. I have to really, you know, stick to what I consider to be good and true. And because of that, it leaves a lot of things off the table, right? So that's where you start to see the split in on the right, is you see people that are like, hey, let's use the woke culture against them, blah blah blah, you know Caitlyn Jenner for the win, and you know, we'll just outwoke them. And I think Michael Knowles said this, like, you can't win a game where the number one rule of the game is you can't win. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's just where I stand on that. So let's jump into another topic of discussion, and then we're gonna wrap. We're right around 30 minutes now, so I'll do one more, and then I'm not gonna talk your ear off. But
I could talk all day.
let's talk about the I'm not gonna say the word on YouTube, the sickness that has taken over the world. And what the reactions are now that places are opening up. Jersey's opening up next month. Florida is opening up. What's his name? DeSantis has said it already. Florida is just removing all restrictions. But then there's people like Canada that are shutting down still, you know, and there's people that are like instilling double mask rules in certain places. What's your reaction to the whole situation?
Oh my gosh. This, the whole thing is, I'm going to try to not use the words because this is going on YouTube, but it's been a year, you know. I usually when someone, you know, comes up to me or makes a comment or starts a conversation about it, because if I'm outside, I've never worn a mask outside. I'm outside. If I'm by myself, I'm not wearing a mask. If I'm in my car, I'm definitely not wearing a mask, you know, and it's just unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when people come up to me and they start this conversation, they're like, well, you're the reason why we're still not at this level, or where we haven't reached herd immunity, or, you know, whatever their argument is.
Right. Whatever, you know, their argument is today.
Okay, yeah, whatever the argument of the day is. And I usually just respond with, okay, well, how long is long enough? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want? Another year? Do you want 5 years, 10 years? Do you want this to go on forever? Because it's been a year, you know, if the, you know, the claim is always the anti-maskers. It's not against necessarily not wearing a mask. I just know that I have done the research, and I know that the masks aren't making a big difference, as they say, trying to be careful with how I word this. They're not as effective as they are claiming. And, you know, because at my last job, I actually had to have the respirator certification for what I did. So I know the whole process of having the mask and having to have it fit specifically to you. And like it's a whole day training of making sure that everything is adjusted, and you have different things that you have to try to smell. And if you can smell, then it's not adjusted. And so you have to keep going and keep going until it's correct.
Right.
This is nothing. It's literally just, you know, holding a piece of fabric over your face. It's not, it's just not as effective.
It's the same as doing this.
Exactly. And the fact that everyone uses cotton, right? Oh, a
Right.
cotton mask. Cotton is literally the most breathable fabric. You are literally it's so ironic that you're
Right.
using cotton when you want it to not be able to go through. It's like, come on, people, just common sense. And so it's such a laughable thing for me, and for not wearing a mask. I started asking people, well, if not wearing a mask is what's killing everyone, like why am I still here? Why are all of us still here? If that's what it is, how much longer until I go because I'm not wearing a mask outside, and usually they're kind of puzzled after that, so they don't really have much to say, but it's there's only so many things that you can do. And as far as the I don't want to use that word either, the dose, taking the dose, I don't want to take it because it's not because I'm against them. I've had every other, when I was younger, before I started school, I'm not against them. I just don't want this one because, I'm healthy. I spend time training, every week. I eat healthy. I do all the things to keep a strong, healthy body, and keep my immune system healthy. And to me, that says everything when all that you see coming out of the politician's mouth and all out of the media, all they're saying is, wear a mask, wash your hands, wear a mask, wash your hands, double mask, triple mask. It's like you're not getting to the root of the problem. A lot of the people that are actually being infected have all these underlying conditions. Those are the conditions you have to look at. If you could help people stay healthier, they wouldn't have those underlying conditions that would cause their risk to skyrocket, but they're not looking at that. They're not talking about, eating healthier. They're not talking about, you don't have to be this crazy bodybuilder. You know what I mean? You could literally just walk outside. You could just, go for a walk, go for a run, go to the gym, do
Well,
whatever, play
it's
basketball.
just like
There's so many
the
different things you can do.
it's just like the left. There's so many parallels between the way this is being handled and pretty much every other area that the left talks about. I mean, for example, just let's talk about single motherhood, right? Instead of addressing the actual root of the issue, which is inner city culture and feminism, they're going to the surface level and they're talking about, well, you have to celebrate them. You have to do this, you have to do that. Well, she's a strong, independent woman. Why does that matter? Blah, blah, blah. Whereas it's the same thing with the sickness, right? It's like instead of addressing the root cause, which is like an individual person's health, are they healthy or not? Are they young or not? They're going right to the surface level. Everybody in the world wears a mask. You all have to wear masks, And people wonder why, third world countries are being affected by this more. It's like, well, they're not as healthy as people in America. Of course, we have the best healthcare. We have the best everything here. Of course, we're not going to be suffering as much when, I know in Brazil, you have to wait hours and hours to even like get some stitches at the doctors because of their socialized Medicare, like, or medicine or whatever. So it's just insane to me that they always go right to the surface level because they don't want to offend anybody with telling them the truth of what's actually wrong. But I want to leave some time for you to kind of plug yourself, talk to us about what you're doing, what you're trying to do, the future for you, and just, go, just take it away. Plug yourself, talk about us. Where can we find you?
It's so hard to talk about myself. I can't. I should just hire someone to talk about me
You
because
need a
this is the hardest thing
publicist?
for me to do. I do. I'm the worst. I don't know. I don't have anything super huge really coming up right now. Right now, I'm just kind of just working on a new site because I'm honestly just concerned how long I will be able to stay on social media before I'm found and pretty much obliterated on there. So I'm working on a website and just going to have all of my episodes and all of my, news reports and everything on there. So that way everyone will be able to contact me through there. And going to start a kind of like a merch shop. I've got some ideas for some cool gear to kind of spread the word and really just working on my business. I don't have it linked on any of my social media, but I have a brand. I design leather jackets, and so now that we're in the summertime, I'm working on some travel bags right now. So that's what I do. So It's all sourced here. I try to get as much as I possibly can from, from different places and different manufacturers here. So all of my hardware and all of my leather is sourced from here in America. And I draft and design everything myself. I construct everything myself. So it's all handmade, it's all custom. And yeah, so that's what I do. And then just staying on top of politics and trying to keep the
Trying to save
truth
the
out there.
world.
'Cause we have to. It's up to us. It's really interesting that, with mainstream media, that they have become such a part of, the elite government. We, the people, are the ones who have to be the distribution channels. We have to be the ones sharing the truth, because if we don't, who will?
Exactly.
So it's all that we can do.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to share some of your wisdom, some of your insights. Looking forward to having you back on. If you're ever interested, you have something to plug, you want to, do some press, quote unquote,
Anytime.
I'll gladly share you with my 12 followers. So it'll be great.
No, you have way more than that. You are amazing. This is just the beginning.
thank you.
It's an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you. But yes, make sure you follow her. She's on Instagram. She's on, are you on YouTube yet? You should be. I told you that.
I'm on Rumble.
You're on Rumble. Oh, okay,
Because
even better.
I don't want to get kicked off on YouTube, because I just like to say what I want to say in all of my episodes and not be censored. So I'm on Rumble at Real Frankie Rodriguez.
Love it. And also on Instagram. Thank you guys. Stick around. I'm going to stop recording.